Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now to chat with Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Ben joins us on the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline.
Yeah, and Ben, we got a big one this weekend, AFC Championship game. What are you thinking about when it comes to Bills and Chiefs?
Well, I hope this turns out to be a slugfest. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, though, going away. I expect Josh Allen to make a bunch of mistakes here. I'm not sold. I'm holding out hope here. I've not jumped on the Josh Allen bandwagon this year. He's played very well, obviously, for Buffalo, but I don't think they match up pound for pound with the Chiefs. And so if I'm right, then I believe the Chiefs will have an easy time. Now, obviously, if Mahomes is running around and he's hopping on one leg because his toe's all messed up, that changes things. But I think Allen played very well against the Ravens in the last game. And I think you can defend him, and he's going to make mistakes. I still believe it's in his DNA. So I think that will help the Chiefs. That combination is going to help him out here.
I don't know that I'm fully comfortable with you being on board, Ben. I'm not so sure where I
Well, that's not a bad call, because the curse of the Bambino is in effect here. When I pick something here, it does not go the way it's supposed to go pretty much ever. That's just my I was, you know, like I told you guys, I thought Chiefs were the top team. I remember when we were doing this before the season, we were like, who's the second best team? Was it the Ravens, or, you know, we were going down the list. I don't think anybody had Buffalo as the second best team in the AFC, so it's all riding on Mahomes, though. It's all about him.
Well, it is, and I saw an article earlier today that said, you know, when they talk about point spreads for the game, Patrick Mahomes is worth 10 points going into the game. That's how valuable he is. If he, for some reason, leaves the game early or can't go or something like that, how do you believe that changes the dynamic of the game, and does it give Buffalo a much, you know, bigger advantage to win that football game?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, and I know the gambling market, which is all what I always look at to see where the degenerates are at. Usually early in the week, the professional gamblers are the ones that put their money down. And so I saw there were a lot of people who were wishing that Patrick Mahomes is not going to play, because there was a lot of early money on Buffalo trying to sneak in there and get Buffalo with getting 3 points, thinking that if Mahomes isn't able to play, they're going to flip the line. It's going to become like a 1 point line or something like that with Chad Henne. I mean, you can win the second thing, you can win with backup quarterback, but the Chiefs would have to be almost perfect on special teams and defense. I learned my lesson, Bob. I learned my lesson years back betting. I used to trash every backup quarterback that would take over. Oh, this guy's a bum. He can't play and all that. And, you know, after a few of these guys won a bunch of games, and then, you know, obviously a couple of years ago we had the Eagles who won the Super Bowl with their backup. And even, you know, in the 80s, Jeff Hostetler for the Giants, and there have been a handful of backups. I learned my lesson. Even when it looks like it's a mismatch and the backup can't play, they occasionally find lightning in a bottle.
You're a contrarian then to most fans who always believe the backup quarterback is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the radio, sports radio trope, right? That the backup quarterback is better. But we learned, right? Because that's because he hasn't sucked yet, because he hasn't had an opportunity to play. So as soon as they play, it's like my theory on first-round draft picks. Like, every first-round draft pick we love because none of them have been bad in the NFL. They've never had a bad game. They've never missed a practice. They've never ripped fans. None of that stuff. They're perfect in the eyes of the NFL.
Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio, a Fox Sports Radio. And I was listening to some Buffalo sound over the last couple of days. And one of the players, I can't remember who it was talking about the disrespect card and playing the disrespect. Nobody believes in us and all that. You're the two seed. Is Buffalo getting enough credit right now? And are they respected or disrespected right now by the rest of the football world?
Well, this is also right in my wheelhouse, Bob. I mean, number one, I love the nobody respects us. You know, bring back the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T and all that. I love that. No, listen, Buffalo had a great season. I've seen a lot of wonderful admiration for the Bills from the NFL media. The national media, they have been building up the legend of Josh Allen like he's a mythical lumberjack at this point, and he's the next big thing. And I was reading a story when I was getting ready for my overnight show about how now this is going to be the quarterback rivalry of the AFC. It's Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes, and this is it. And wasn't that – Lamar Jackson, that was last year, right? It was going to be Lamar, and so I'll believe it. I'll believe it when it happens. But, nah, I mean, nobody believed in us. At least Buffalo, you could say you're in Buffalo. When the Patriots were doing it, it was, like, ridiculous. So I'll give the Bills a little bit. But, no, everyone's been all over them, how great they are. They've been the toast of the up-and-coming teams in the NFL this year.
Yes, in week one, it was Deshaun Watson. In week three, it was Lamar Jackson. And then week six, Josh Allen had the opportunity. So, yes, there's been a progression of who is the next quarterback guy. But it sounds like you're kind of in the camp that I am. Josh Allen has the most opportunity out of the weekend to kind of elevate his perception, because it sounds like you're kind of on the fence as to whether or not he has arrived to that level yet.
Yeah. I'm not sold. It takes a lot to convince me. I'm very stubborn. So when I form an opinion like everyone else, I don't want to change my opinion. So I'm not quite there yet. If Buffalo were to go on and win the Super Bowl or something like that, I'd have to change my position. But the NFL can't lose on this, right? They're guaranteed of either Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers versus the dream would be Brady versus Mahomes, right? Wouldn't that be I know they played in the AFC Championship game, but that in the Super Bowl to have those two guys go against each other. But you can't go wrong with if it's Aaron Rodgers against the Chiefs and that whole thing. And the way they've hyped up Josh Allen. So I think the NFL's in good shape either way, but it is a sliding scale on who the next great rival who we need to celebrate and canonize for battling Mahomes is.
Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, you brought up Aaron Rodgers briefly there. I feel like this is a weekend for him. He's got more pressure than anybody this weekend, because if he doesn't go out there and win this NFC Championship game, he doesn't get to another Super Bowl. And he's hitting that tail end of his career where he may only have that one Super Bowl championship. How big is it for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's huge. They're at home, and they're better. I mean, they had a better season than Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got some bigger name players and all that. But Rodgers seems to be one of those. It's like this weird thing where you kind of take shots at Rodgers. The media takes shots at Rodgers because he doesn't talk to his family and there's family drama and all that. But as far as his play, you know, lavish praise. And when you think about – you're right. When you think about all these wins Green Bay's had, and it's a very similar career arc to Brett Favre, where he's only won one Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Favre had the one win and great numbers and all that. And it's always something. It's always like just like a one thing's off a little bit and it screws up the whole thing for Rodgers. But yeah, I mean, you think at his age, although all bets are off the way Tom Brady's playing. The last 6 weeks, Tom Brady has been as good as he's ever been in his NFL career. He's got 16 touchdowns and one interception the last six games. It's insane. He's supposed to get worse, not better, when you're old like that as a player.
I was kind of writing them off for a while and then looked at the road they're going to have to take in the postseason. But if they get through now Green Bay, I mean, that's I guess, closing the door on Tom and company way too early.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about Tampa Bay, I mean, you don't want to start smelling the roses before you get there. But Drew Brees, he was old. He played old. He was terrible. Tampa has a pretty good defense. But it's hard to imagine Aaron Rodgers coming out and puking all over the field. You know, it's like they're going to have to beat Rodgers with Rodgers playing at least an average game. I don't think he's had a few stinkers in the playoffs. But so it's a different dynamic, obviously, this week. And I hope it snows. It's not supposed to snow. I want snow. You know, I'm in my house. It's perfect weather here, so give me some snow somewhere. I need snow somewhere.
All right, Ben, before we let you go, who's it going to be? Who wins this weekend and heads to Tampa for Super Bowl day, not week, Super Bowl day?
All right, so I already picked the Chiefs, so I've already jinxed the Chiefs. So why don't I jinx? I'm not going to bet against Brady anymore, so I'll say it's the Buccaneers just to annoy – it's going to be the Bucs with Brady to annoy Belichick and then the Chiefs, and then I guess we have to wait to pick the actual winner, right? Isn't that the rules?
Like, yeah, you've got to wait a while, yeah. So if it is Brady, though, that really tarnishes Belichick's legacy, though, doesn't it, at least according to the media?
Oh, yeah, they're going to just savage Belichick for 2 weeks. He's a bum. Belichick's making like $25 million a year or whatever it is coaching the Patriots, and it's not him. It was always Brady, and I've already started to hear from my friends in Boston who are like, yeah, see, because I was on Team Belichick, so now they're goofing on me because I was like, see, Ballard, you were wrong. It's not Belichick. It's the players and all that, but I think the Patriots will be back, but, yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be – haymakers, body blows, you name it. They'll be coming off the top bar with arm bars on Belichick. I mean, do you see his lady friend already had to get off social media because she's taking so much flack? So that's just the tip of the spear.
No doubt. Ben, enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio.
Of course, you can hear him on Fox Sports Radio overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Ben joins us on the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline. The Chiefs will tell you why the Bills are better than they were in Week 6. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Coverage of Chiefs and Bills brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. Of course, the AFC Championship game coming up on Sunday, 5:40, the kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf. Be listening today, an hour from now, between 8:30 and 9, we're going to give every 5 minutes someone an opportunity to get registered to win a 4-pack of tickets to go to Sunday's game.
That's
so be listening
cool.
Between 8:30 and 9. We'll play a drop. Be caller 15 to 913-576-7610. You get yourself registered to win, but we're going to do it between 8:30 and 9, so be listening and be ready to dial. Chiefs back to the practice field yesterday behind closed doors, which to me is great. It's funny. It's awesome. Bunker in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
And only put out video of
what you want people to see
of Patrick Mahomes walking up and down the field,
mm-hmm.
stretching his hamstrings. Terrific stuff yesterday. Mm-hmm. But then Andy Reid after practice said he took all the snaps, but stayed within the NFL's concussion protocol.
Correct.
And was listed as limited. Was initially listed.
He was initially limited as full participant. Yeah.
And then I think they had to go back and change that. I think it's the protocol thing. I believe that you can't be a full participant if you're in the concussion protocol.
So what you're telling me, he was a full participant, and they realized they made a mistake, so they had to list him as limited participant.
So. Yeah,
gotcha.
He did everything he could do.
Right. So he did everything.
Yeah, I think so. Andy Reid said he took all of the snaps. I don't know
what. So he was a full participant? Yeah, he was
pretty
good. Limited,
definitive, I guess.
He missed that one snap at the end.
Did he do all the deals?
Yeah, he did do all the deals. He passed all the deals yesterday. It's like Aaron Rodgers in that playoff game we talked about yesterday. Came in and took a knee in 2007.
Henny might have done it at the end of practice.
Right.
Yeah. He concluded practice.
The only thing Patrick didn't do yesterday was take the knee in practice, right?
Sean Breland also working through the protocol was listed as limited. Clyde Edwards-Helaire limited. Rashawn Fenton limited. Sammy mm-hmm. Watkins limited. Although Andy Reid notes that today is a longer practice and maybe more definitive look at who might be ready to go.
Correct. And it's the most important practice because it's the next practice. So if everybody's out there today, because last week we saw where Clyde Edwards-Helaire was out there practicing on Wednesday. We thought, oh, okay, there's a good chance he plays.
And then Thursday, Friday didn't practice.
And so then he didn't play. And so that's what we have to look at right now when we are talking about this team and who's going to be able to play on Sunday. If guys go through practice today, it's a really, really good chance that they are going to be playing on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening against the Buffalo Bills. And so today is a big day, obviously, for the Chiefs, big day for Patrick Mahomes, big day for ESPN and NFL Network on their Mahomes watch, and a big day for everybody else. I still think when I'm looking at injuries on this team, the Rashad Breland one is the one that I am most concerned about right now and seeing how that factors in because Buffalo does have a very good passing game and you'd hate to be without your best corner.
hear from the coordinators today around 1:30 live here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. And Daryl Williams coming up with Coding Gold today at 10:30. They'll chat with the Chiefs running back coming up today at 10:30.
Oh, Andy, man, I hope CEH can play this week.
Andy Reid asked how the Bills have changed since week number six.
It looks like they're healthy. I mean, they were missing a couple guys at that time and key guys. And so I think that they've got everybody back and they're playing at a high level. I mean, they've reeled off quite a few games here in a row of victories. And like I said, they're well coached and they're a good player. So they're playing good football right now.
And that might be the biggest difference. Chiefs obviously were looking at this injury report and going, there's a lot of names here. Mm-hmm. And then and Buffalo had the reverse. They were missing some what they thought were key components back in that first meeting.
Correct.
And and looked to be healthier. I think it's one of the – obviously they're playing – they're heading into the playoffs, really good football, but they're a lot healthier than they were before. Chiefs, on the flip side, you can't say they were healthier than that first matchup.
Right. And I think Buffalo at the time, too, I still think they were a team that was getting the hype, but I don't know if they necessarily knew that they were as good as they are at that point in time in week six, right? It's still early in the season, month and a half in. You're still trying to figure your way out and figure out what you can do and what you can be successful at. And I think the Chiefs were a better team that day because they were the more mature team. They were the veteran team. They were the team that has been there before. And that's why I look at week six, and I'll tell anybody who listens, the week six game, for all intents and purposes, means zero. I mean, you can take a little bit and piece here, like Frank Clark had a good game in week six. He got to the quarterback. I want to see him do that again. But as far as game plan and what the Chiefs were able to do and how they were able to run the football, I don't expect that to be a possibility at all. Do you think Buffalo is going to be held to, you know, 90 yards passing or whatever they did with Josh Allen that day or however many yards they held him down to?
Buck 22.
Yeah. No, you think they're going to do that again? I don't think they're going to do that again at all. I think Josh Allen and that offense is too good to hold them down. So that week six game is a nice kind of rerun it on NFL Network and show us that they played each other earlier in the year. But I don't think the game is going to be dictated. I don't think the game is going to be played. And I don't think the game is going to turn out anyway like we saw in week six. I think that might as well have been the Chargers playing the Buccaneers in week six as opposed to the Chiefs and the Bills.
I've been telling people, you and I, and we don't take much out of it. If I'm the defensive coordinator, I might take something out of the film that we did. You know, one of those things, like the minutia of it, maybe.
I'd show Frank Clark that game,
but how the game goes, I don't think it's going to be similar at all.
No, I don't think it is either. I don't think the game's going to be anything like we saw in week six.
Tyrann Mathieu thinks they'll see a different Josh Allen this time.
I think this time around, you know, you're going to see a quarterback that's, you know, really understand, you know, where the ball is supposed to go. You know, I think the last time we played him, it probably wasn't his best outing as a quarterback. So I'm pretty sure he's going to come in here this Sunday, try to get into a rhythm, you know, fairly quickly. I can see them, you know, using his legs early on to kind of get him in a groove, because he's one of those quarterbacks. Once he gets in a groove, once he gets his confidence up, you know, he's tough to stop. So, you know, I think it'll be really important for us to come out of the gates, you know, playing really, really hard, really fast, and everybody communicating.
Like he says, well, we'll probably see a quarterback that knows where the ball is supposed to go this time. Like,
right.
It's almost like, yeah. Didn't know where it was going last time. But,
right.
This time he might have it figured out.
I don't know that that's a sick burn per se, or something that is like
him wrecked, Ryan. I thought it was get wrecked.
Get wrecked.
You know what your kid says?
Get wrecked.
I don't think it was that at all. I think that's him saying that Josh Allen has grown a lot since week six. He's become a better quarterback.
No, it wasn't a knock. It was just funny the way he said it. Like, this time he'll know where the ball's going.
But I think what he's saying is bad. Josh Allen has come a long way in the last 3 months from the last time we saw him up there in Buffalo. And he's going to have John Brown back.
I really appreciate Tyrann Mathieu's scouting breakdowns of people, because now we've gotten Josh Allen is now a quarterback that knows where the ball's supposed to go,
right?
And Willie Gay Jr. goes 100 miles an hour. He doesn't know where he's going,
right?
But he goes 100 miles an hour doing it.
He may end up in South Dakota when he was supposed to be in Iowa, but hey, man, he's moving.
I'll tell you
right?
What, when Ty's done with football, he should call Dan Shonka up. Like, he's got a career in scouting.
Yeah,
what he needs to do.
But no, I think it's a very good assessment. That's a great assessment of a young quarterback, because we've talked about it so much in this league, how young quarterbacks never make it. And there's reasons why they never make it. Maybe they're not good enough. Maybe it's the coaching, whatever. You don't see that growth over the course of the season. And anybody that you talk to about Josh Allen talks about just the way he's grown, not just from last year to this year, but throughout the course of this season. I think the guy we had on, Chris Brown from WGR and Bills, One Bills Live up in Buffalo earlier in the show, talked about like his completion percentage being like 10% better this year than it was a season ago. And that's because he got better as a quarterback. He got better as a decision maker out there on the field. And I think that's what we've seen in week six. He didn't look like he was a great decision maker. He still turns the ball over a bit too much for me, but he's still a much better quarterback than where he was. And so the Chiefs, like, looking back at that game, you're not going to see that same Josh Allen that we saw in week six. And if you do, God love him.
Yeah. In the midst of Mahomes' watch yesterday, the Royals kind of threw out a little something. I like putting the band back together.
I do too. Herrera's next, right?
I think so. Wade Davis is back.
Yeah. Hey, Wade.
Is this in the news?
Yeah. By the way, the Royals are bringing back Wade Davis on a minor league deal. Pitched the last three seasons in Colorado.
Can you believe it's been three seasons he's been in Colorado?
No. It was very, very quick.
Yeah.
Didn't pitch particularly well last year in the shortened season.
What do you judge from that, though? I don't take a whole lot out of
time gets away from
dealing
Colorado,
with injuries and what have you, and bring him back on a minor league deal. Yeah. Why not?
The biggest upset and the biggest newsworthy nugget from that whole thing for me was he's 35 years old. I didn't realize Wade was Kling's age, up there in age, man. Like, he's going to be the veteran of that staff.
Close to me, yeah.
Half a Kling's age.
I mean, he's not even close to me.
We got to get Herrera back, though, so we can get HDH again.
I said, you Holland, you got Davis.
Right.
Herrera's a free agent.
Go get him.
Where's Hoach?
Did we get tricked?
Let's call Hoach.
Hoach is retired, though.
I feel like Greg Holland has, lulled us into a sense of confidence that we're going to be able to, get 2015 Wade Davis.
I'm not counting on Wade Davis to minor
league deals. I'm cool. Yeah. I'm totally cool.
100%.
These are all flyers.
I just think from a fan expectation, it's like, oh my God, we got Wade Davis back.
Slow down.
Wade Davis had an 8.6 ERA 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just a feel good.
It is. And if he contributes and he does something well and you don't have to pay much money for him and you get somebody that contributes and helps you win ball games, hey, any move you make like this, man, is just a shot to make your team a little bit better. I have no issue with it because there's no real investment by the Royals in this thing, right? It's like, bring him in on a flyer. If he's got something, great, fantastic, wonderful. If he doesn't, what do you lose out of the deal, right?
Yeah, there's no harm to it, and it's a great name to bring back. So I'm all for it. Just keep bringing any of those guys want to come back and just go to whatever spring training ends up being.
Right.
Impart some wisdom upon the young group. This is how it was back in the day. Go for it.
I really feel like that's probably the most value he's bringing you, right? Because the Royals are building in a similar way. Now, I mean, positions are different, right? Like, this time it's more pitching focused rather than being centered around, four or five position players.
Right.
But it's still building in a very similar way, and you're trying to get a crop of guys to come up and win together. I think Wade Davis understood that. He obviously got here when that kind of started making the turn.
But right.
Wade Davis understood what was going on here in Kansas City. So I think that's probably the biggest benefit he gives you is just, hey, I've got experience not only winning in the postseason, but I've got experience going through the process of getting to that win.
And I think the other thing that it does as well, it reinforces to the younger kids that this was the top organization in baseball a couple of years ago. Like, it's getting away from, that time where there were a lot of guys that were part of it. I think you got Salvi and Duffy that were actually part of the 14 and 15 run that are still on this ball club. Am I missing somebody maybe somewhere? Obviously Holland is back into the fold as well, with all of that, but there aren't a lot of guys that were part of that success, and Wade Davis and Greg Holland and these guys now can tell these younger kids, hey, it was a couple of years ago, man, we were in this exact same spot. You kind of fill that void or that role of maybe a Raul Ibanez, a veteran type of guy who says, hey, guys are pretty darn good. Go out there and play. Go out there and take care of business. The rest of the league is scared of you, right, man?
I just want Davis to roll in like the rest of us do and be wearing his 14 and 15 gear.
Correct.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to think Mahomes is going to play as Tyreek keeps it real. Next.
Doobie-doobie-doo, living on a prayer.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Good morning, my sports fans.
Sports junkies. I think she's pronouncing it Jonky, though.
You got a honker out there, too.
Clonker.
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 Or a clonker.
If you're going to the airport, hate to see you go.
Yeah. Huh. I'm actually jealous you're going somewhere. I haven't gone anywhere in a year.
Michael Irvin dropped by Cody and Gold yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio.
Hate to see you go.
And he's really confident.
Is he a sports junkie?
That's, he is. That Mahomes is going to play.
That's Mahomes going to play football. In this spot, in this game, we just talked about the difference between great and greatness, consistently doing it. In the NFC is the very definition of greatness. You may get the chance to match up with him in a Super Bowl. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be fine. He'll be there. But that's how you prepare. That's how you prepare. Now, if you ever have to play without him, I guarantee you, those guys, Tyreek Hill and those guys, they won't mention it, but they'll be in the huddle looking at the tunnel, just hoping he's gonna come out one day or 1 minute in the game. So he'll be there.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Michael Irvin knows, though, man. Like that was a guy, obviously, who was quote unquote in the trenches out there on the field. He knows the mindset of a football player and a competitive football player too, like Patrick Mahomes. He is not going to miss a game and an opportunity in an AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl, because as much as we believe and I believe that this team is destined to be in this championship game for the next decade plus, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, you still can't take any of these opportunities for granted. And you can't, as a player, think, well, we're going to be here every year. We talked to Will Shields about that yesterday. We've talked to Danan Hughes about that when they were rookies and they were in the AFC Championship game against Buffalo. They thought that was the rite of passage. They thought that's where they were going to be every year. Well, that was the only year those guys made it to the AFC Championship game, never to return. So you can't take any of this for granted that's going on right now. It's kind of what I was preaching in 14 and 15 with the Royals and really, you know, on this run with the Chiefs. You've got to enjoy every single moment that we're living through right now, because there is no guarantees that they're going to be there. And I think that's the way you have to operate as a player. And I think that's the way Patrick Mahomes is absolutely operating as a player. He's not sitting back going, just get him next year. No, he's looking at this going, I've got an opportunity here to really cement a legacy, really create a legacy, and really start and fast track that greatest of all time conversation that people are already having about Patrick Mahomes. You get to three straight AFC Championship games, then you go to back-to-back Super Bowls and win them, and you've played in 3 years in the NFL, and you've already accomplished two Super Bowl championships, an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, three AFC Championship games. You're creating a legacy, Josh, that, in my opinion, when it's all said and done, if it continues on this, be something you can never touch in sports.
Which is true, but to say, well, he won't miss this, we got to acknowledge this is one that's out of his hands.
And that's
more,
a fair
more
point,
so
yes.
than I'm nursing a whatever. Right. I'm going to get back out there. This one is, this and COVID are out of your control.
Right.
Like those are the ones you can't dictate. Well, I don't care what you say. I'm going back.
Sure.
So it's a little bit more out of his hands than that, but certainly everything is trending towards it being fine and him playing. Tyreek Hill was asked, can this team get to where they want to be, even if there's no Mahomes?
I mean, the goal is to have Patrick, but I really don't know. But I feel like it doesn't matter who out there. You know, whoever steps in at quarterback, we're going to put our confidence in them the same way this organization, you know, has their back to be able to back up one of the best quarterbacks in the game, you know. So, I mean, if Chad come in the game and, you know, he's feeling, like, awkward or something like that, then – like, who knows, man, how that game would have turned out. But I feel like the moment he came in, you know, guys were, like, patting him on the back, showing him love, you know, making plays for him. The running game got going. Offensive line got blocking, you know. So things like that, you know, really, you know, helps a guy out, you know, who's been in this league a long time. So, I mean, it's not too hard for him. But if he is in there, you know, we still going to compete, you know. Because it's just in us, you know. Like, we just can't go out there on Sunday and not play hard, you know, because we wouldn't be playing at the highest level if it wasn't in us.
Tyreek Hill keeping it real, especially the big getting part.
Yeah.
Can you do this without Mahomes?
I mean, the goal is to have Patrick, but
Yeah. And he's not the only one feeling that way. I saw like the ESPN, you know, they project the percentage chance to win a game, you know, and all that kind of stuff after every single play, the percentage changes. Mm-hmm. Going into this game, they give the Chiefs a 61% chance to win with Patrick Mahomes. If Chad Henne plays in this football game and starts, they only have a 32% chance of winning this football game. And obviously they've got some metric that comes up with all of that. It's fun to look at and talk about. But as I've been telling people and explaining, this Chiefs team is just different. And do I think they can win with Chad Henne? I do think they can win with Chad Henne because that's where Andy Reid will really shine. And the one thing that we have really seen out of Andy Reid over the last couple of years, and really you can embrace with Andy Reid over the last couple of years, is he knows how to put his team in the best possible positions. Do I want Chad Henne? No, I don't want Chad Henne to play. But if we do, then I look to Andy Reid, who I believe is the best coach right now in the NFL.
And I look, the game, right?
And I look at him and I go, all right, man, you've done a great job in putting people in position to be successful. Let's see what you can do with Chad Henne out there, and let's see if we can go out there and win this football game with the backup quarterback. And that's why this team is so different, because you got to prepare for offense. You got to prepare for defense. But Andy Reid is such a wild card, and I don't believe there's many other coaches in this league, maybe other than Belichick, where you truly have to prepare for that head football coach. And so does it look good on paper? No, it doesn't look good on paper with Chad Henne out there. But Andy Reid is such a master at coaching and putting his guys in position to be successful. I'll go out there and take the chances with him, man.
But I think 30, for, if you polled people, 30% probably about right.
Probably, yeah.
30%
sure,
confidence level.
Yeah.
But if it's not Mahomes, how comfortable do you feel winning this game?
Yeah.
I got a chance.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling great about it.
30% of people you think would say, yeah, they could do it? Or like they have a 30%
chance of winning? 30% chance of winning.
Right? I mean, those are the numbers, whatever, however formula right? they figure it out.
I don't think
out.
That that's an unreal number either. I think 61% might be a little low.
I thought that was low too, Josh. I
but
did.
I,
was
like, I get it. It's closer to competitive than not.
Right.
And 30%. Yeah. Okay. 30%. Yeah. But I mean, I have a lot of faith they can do a lot of things. I just think there's a massive drop off between number one and number two at your most important position.
Absolutely.
So 30% feels about right.
Yeah. But I think
I don't understand how we could sit here and watch a serviceable quarterback and Alex Smith, right? And we could say, boy, I'll tell you what, you were never going to get to a Super Bowl with Alex Smith. And then 3 years later, we're conditioned now to be like, I think we could make it to a Super Bowl with Chad Henne.
Yeah, because that's how much faith I've got. Andy Reid,
30%, Ryan.
Andy Reid was coaching the team with Alex Smith.
Like, I think they might be able to scheme up a game to do so.
Sure.
But it'd be about a 30% confidence level. Yeah.
I would be shocked if they won that game in, like, I don't know, week six, right? Like, if in week six Chad Henne had to play against the Buffalo Bills, I feel like I would have been shocked then, too.
Yeah, but you also go
less
back,
than 30% is what I would give them.
Yeah.
But you also go back to the games that Patrick didn't play when Matt Moore had to be the starting quarterback. I thought they were going to lose all of those games that he did not play. And they only lost the one to the Packers, which at the end of the day, if LeSean McCoy doesn't fumble, they probably end up beating your team, Ryan. And so I think you beat the Vikings, right? And
by
then
a field goal at the end.
But it doesn't matter. You won the game, and then you had an opportunity to beat Ryan's Packers, and LeSean McCoy fumbles away that football, and the throw that Aaron Rodgers had to make, you know, for a touchdown in that game, insanely unbelievable. So Andy Reid, just as the coach, has done a great job without Patrick Mahomes and putting his team in. Now, I don't want to experience that ever again. Like, I don't want to see it, but I mean, I see what he did last year with Matt Moore as the quarterback, and now I see Chad Henne, Matt Moore, Chad Henne, 6-1, half a dozen of another. But the way that he came up with those game plans against two good teams at that point in time, some say a great team in the Green Bay Packers, Brian, you gave your team the opportunity to win that football game. You gave your team the best possible chance to win those games with a backup quarterback. And honest to God, I thought they were going to get motorboated in both of those games, and they
didn't.
Again,
you're not using that term appropriately.
The Chiefs are only in step two of playoff run it back, and they don't intend to slow down. Next.
You ready to roll?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!